It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome aboard, everyone out there in Radio Land. I'm George Williams, and I am your host, and I'm so glad to be behind the mic tonight. Now, it's such a beautiful day, folks. It is really nice. Folks, our number here is 251-343-0106. Now, you can send us a text on that number, so please feel free to do so, okay? Also, if you're outside our listening area, you can let other folks know who want to listen to the show. They can get us on our app at fmtalk1065.com. That's fmtalk1065.com. All right, folks, we're going to have a very important guest tonight. Matter of fact, I was with him last night at the Mobile County Executive Meeting, and he's been very good as our Secretary of State. His name is Wes Allen, and he'll be calling in, folks, in probably about 10 minutes. He'll be calling in, and we'll be talking to him. And Wes is also a candidate for Lieutenant Governor. Now, just imagine this. Wes Allen and Tom Tuberville. Imagine them, the governor and the lieutenant governor, working together. And the reason I like that, folks, now others, you know, may run, but those are the ones that I personally think will become the governor and the lieutenant governor of Alabama. And so this is where we're at. And the election is next year. And, you know, they have to prepare and get everything going. I know there are going to be several candidates in each one of those categories, just like the House Representative and the state senators. There will be more than one candidate. And I like that. I like competition, folks. I like competition. So we're looking forward to talking to our current Secretary of State, Wes Allen, who is also a candidate for the lieutenant governor of Alabama. So if you got any questions, get them ready, because he shall be calling in soon, or maybe coming to the studio. I don't know, but we will see. All right. My condolences to those individuals in Texas, folks, doing the flooding. And boy, it is so sad. It's really sad. But, you know, I was watching the news on several channels, and you know, to hear folks say, oh, well, the governor of Texas didn't do anything, the federal government didn't do anything. Let me tell you something. You don't fool with Mother Nature, okay? The only thing you can do with Mother Nature is afterwards, folks. Well, first of all, you can get them out of the way. If there's any way possible to get people out of the line of fire. But in that situation, I don't see what anybody can do. Okay? Anybody. And the folks, especially Democrats, want to fault the president. You know, job cuts. No, that wasn't it, folks. You look on the Weather Channel, you look at your weather folks, whenever something is coming up, they're always warning you. You're always being warned, you know? And to say that it's because of the president that this happened is nothing but a bunch of lies. Fake news by especially the Democrats, okay? So it's not that way. I don't feel that anyone, when something happened like that, the rain, a lot of rain. Wait, we've had it here. I know the road that I used to go into my property, it was washed away. Now, am I going to blame the governor or the county commissioners or the mayor because so much rain came down. That's nature, folks. That's nature. And you know the old saying, you don't fool with Mother Nature. Okay? The only thing you could do is tuck her down, and then once it bypassed you, then you start the rescue or recovery or whatever. But don't blame it on President Trump. Don't blame it on the Republicans. It's not fair. Not fair. But that's a trick that the Democrats do. And they anything bad happens, they want to blame the administration. Okay? But they didn't blame Biden. They want to blame Trump. They didn't blame Biden. Matter of fact, they said Biden was in a sound state of mind. Okay? That's what they said. That's what. Hold on, Phil. Pull up on that. Can you take that over there and see who it is? Okay. Before we got a caller. We're trying to see if this is the Secretary of State calling, and then we'll interview him. We'll talk to him, and I can't wait for this moment because I want to hear what he has to say. He was real good last night, folks, at the Mobile County Republican executive meeting. He's real good. And he outlined what he has done and what he's going to do in his new position. So we are waiting. Is that him? All right. We have him online, and we're going to introduce him to you folks. Mr. Secretary, West Allen, how you doing?
I'm good, George. Thanks so much for having me on the air. I really appreciate it.
Great, great, great. And I really appreciate you last night when you spoke to the Mobile County Republican Executive Committee.
Yes, sir, man. That was a fantastic event, a great turnout, and it's always good to visit with fellow conservatives that are gathered up, and it was just a great time to be with y'all. I really appreciate the invitation to be down in Mobile.
Great, great. Now, I was so impressed with what you said about your track record as the Secretary of State, and I think maybe you can, let our audience know some of those things that you have done in order to make Alabama better.
Yes, sir. Well, listen, when I campaigned for the role to serve as, Alabama Secretary of State, I heard loud and clear, that election integrity and election security was a top of mind and top priority. Of course, I'm a former probate judge, George, that served for 9.5 years in Pike County as chief elections official. And
right.
So I had a lot of experience, in administering our elections inside Pike County. And of course, I wanted to take that experience to the secretary's role. And when I got elected, the first thing that I did, it was a campaign promise on the trail, was to remove Alabama from the Electronic Registration Information Center,
mm-hmm.
that third-party vendor that was really a data mining outfit. And we didn't think that was a good fit for Alabama. Of course, I went to Washington, D.C., and I think somebody told that story last night, that I went to Washington, D.C. to check on their headquarters and their office that's published on their website, and there was no office. There was nobody there. And so I knew we made the right choice. And
right.
So we rolled our sleeves up and went straight to work and developed the Alabama Voter Integrity Database. And, we've been very, very pleased with that, with the outcome of what we've been able to do. And, of course, we've got a great team in our office, and we're all locked arms and same philosophy, same conservative values to push forward to know. And we know that voter file maintenance is the foundation of election integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done some really, really neat things to maintain voter file maintenance and maintain a clean and accurate voter file. And for your audience listening, the Secretary of State cannot register individuals, nor can they remove individuals.
Mm-hmm.
That is the sole duty of the boards of registrars in all 67 counties throughout this state. Now, we help identify and help maintain, and for what I like to call, it's, for lack of a better term, like a daily hygiene. It's like, we all take the showers, we all wash our hair, we all brush our teeth. It's just like daily hygiene. We take that same approach with voter file maintenance inside the state of Alabama, and it's paid off tremendously. And I just want to publicly thank all the registrars, the boards of registrars around the state that work extremely hard to make sure Alabama has the most clean and most accurate voter file in the country.
Right. Now, we've got about a half a minute before we go into our first break. But, you know, when we get back, we'd like for you to explain to the audience how you make up those 67 regional boards, okay? I think that's important, and some of the work that they do, and it really has paid off while we're here in Alabama.
Yes, sir.
All right, folks, we're talking to Wes Allen, who is the current Secretary of State for Alabama. We'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks, to the George Williams Show. We are on a mission, and currently we are talking to Wes Allen, who is our Secretary of State for Alabama, and we're so glad to have him on. So we're glad to have you here, Wes.
Yes, sir. Always good to visit with you, George. I appreciate all your hard work fighting for conservative values. Really appreciate you.
Great. Can you continue with what you were explaining to our audience?
Sure. So we've done some really neat things as far as cleaning up Alabama's voter file, statewide voter file. And you mentioned specifically about boards of registrars. There are three registrars in every county except for one county, and Jefferson has a different way they appoint their registrar. But the governor, the ag commissioner, and the state auditor all have one appointment each to appoint a board of registrar in every county. And so they are so very, very important to the process of election integrity. And some of the things that we've been able to do under AVID, the Alabama Voter Integrity Database, since we took office, we verified and placed on a path for removal nearly 50,000 voters who've moved to surrounding states since 2024. That includes Tennessee, Mississippi, Georgia, Louisiana, and Kentucky. We've removed over 5,500 deceased voters using the Social Security Death Index file that we would not have otherwise known about from a state or third-party data. We placed 145,000 voters on a path to removal in which ALEA data, the Alabama law enforcement data, the driver's license data, showed they'd moved out of state, out of the state of Alabama. Just this past February, George, we purged 116,000 voters in February of 2025 from the last National Voter Registration Act process. That's the federal law that governs how we remove individuals. And let me just say this. We cannot remove someone within a four-year period. So it takes someone either passing away or themselves removing if they move out of state or you know, if they want to be removed from the voter file. They are the only ones that can do it immediately. So we can place them on a pathway to removal, but it takes a four-year process to ultimately, if they don't update or they don't get online and update their voter registration, you know, it takes a four-year process to do that. We're following federal law when we remove those individuals. So we've done a lot of really good things. I'm the first Secretary of State, George, I mentioned this last night, to require a verifiable driver's license number or Social Security number to register to vote inside the state of Alabama. That's very, very important. That's another firewall to make sure that, you know, we have only American citizens voting in our elections.
Right.
And we're very proud of what we've been able to do since we took office in 2023.
Great, great. Okay, what else have you done? You've done a lot more than that.
Well, you know, we always, you know, we want to make sure we're advocating for strong conservative bills to become law to further fortify Alabama elections. Like, number one, making sure we'll always use paper ballots in our elections. You know, that was an administrative rule. We wanted to put that into state law and strengthen that because it's a lot easier to change an administrative rule than it is a state law. So we helped advocate for that. I want to thank the Alabama legislature for passing that bill to mandate paper ballots in all of our elections. We mandated as well that our tabulators can never be connected to the internet. We had SB1 back in 2024 that made sure that we protected the absentee elections process. Absentee voting is so very, very important. A lot of people use it. We must protect it. But at the same time, we do not need paid political activists that are manipulating or trying to manipulate the absentee process when they go to vote. And normally when you see fraud, it is usually in the orbit of absentee voting. We recognize that, and it all starts with the application portion of absentees. And so we helped get SB1 drafted, and we helped advocate for that, and want to thank the legislature for passing that. And also, we prohibited ranked choice voting. If your listeners would just Google that and go online and look and see how much chaos is induced if you have a ranked choice voting system, and like some other states do, it results in like I said, chaos and confusion. It results in spoiled ballots. It results in delayed results. The best way that we have in our state right now is the way we do it in the primary format we have, and going to a primary runoff to focus the electorate on the last two candidates in that primary system. So thanks to Representative Mark Shirey from Mobile for sponsoring that bill and getting it passed. So we've done numerous things. We, you know, just signed a MOA, a Memorandum of Agreement, with the Department of Homeland Security to have access to the SAVE database to make sure that we can check our voter file against their database of non-citizens to make sure somebody isn't on our voter file. And then we just announced as well a couple weeks ago the implementation of a security emblem to our paper ballots. They won't be detectable by the human eye, but it is a further way that we can help the public to have confidence in our elections and to make sure those ballots cannot be counterfeited. So we're very, very pleased with the steps we've taken to fortify our elections in Alabama.
Right. Now, how do you keep illegals from voting?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, I just mentioned one of the things is making sure that we require a verifiable Alabama driver's license or a Social Security number. And so every night, let's just say George Williams goes on there tonight and you register to vote, which I already know you're a registered voter, but let's just say George is going to register to vote on your smartphone. When you enter in your Alabama driver's license, that number is going to ping off of Valia's system. And if something were to show up where it was not able to be verified, it's going to throw up a red flag for the Mobile County Boards of Registrars to further do a little investigation to say, all right, we need to check and see, make sure. And then they'll run the traps on all of that to make sure you are who you say you are. And then we're going to run, also, we're going to continue to run our list against the SAVE database to make sure that non-citizens aren't registering to vote in some backdoor way. So we've got a number of firewalls in place. But, you know, sometimes folks want to do bad things, but we want to make sure we make it as hard as possible.
Right. Let me ask you about issuing a driving license. We in Alabama don't issue a driving license to illegals, do we?
No, we do not. Okay. But legal non-citizens can attain a driver's license, and it's called a foreign national driver's license. It has a designation of an FN, foreign national, FN on the driver's license.
Great.
And of course, they can't, if they attempt to put that number sequence in, it will not verify. So we've got that firewall in place.
Great. Yeah, I often wondered about that, you know.
Yeah.
I know we have the star. You know, so you can identify yourself as an American.
Right. So if they're here citizen. Legally, if a non-citizen is in the country legally and they've been vetted by the federal government, and they've got their permits up to date and all, and they get a driver's license in Alabama, it will be designated a foreign national driver's license.
Gotcha.
Yes,
that's good. That's good to know.
Yep.
All right. There is another question I have, and I've heard the rumors. As a matter of fact, before you got on the air, I mentioned it, okay? And
yes,
and there's another office that you will be running for.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we announced that we're going to be seeking the Republican nomination for the open seat of Lieutenant Governor. As you know, Governor Ainsworth will be, he's term limited, so it will be an open seat for the Lieutenant Governor's position. So, you know, we feel like George, that we want to use the relationships we've been able to build from the time I was a probate judge, from the time I served in the Alabama House of Representatives, you know, advocating for strong legislation to protect our elections. You know, I was the one that carried the bill to prohibit the cross-sex hormones and the puberty blockers and the transgender surgeries for minors in this state. We were the second state to pass that piece of legislation, and, of course, the Supreme Court held up Tennessee's version of that, which means ours is in effect as well, and very, very proud that we've been able to protect kids on that front. But we did a lot of really good work in the legislature. So I've served in the judicial branch as a probate judge. I've served in the legislative branch. And now I'm serving in the executive branch as a Secretary of State, protecting elections, making sure we're business friendly. By the time I step out of office, we're going to have saved over and cut over $2 million in wasteful spending by January of 2027. And so, you know, I want to advocate for conservative values and principles to make and keep Alabama strong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, presiding over the state Senate as the lieutenant governor is a very, very important position. Mm-hmm. And we got to have somebody in there that has the record, who has their credentials, that doesn't just talk, but has actually done big things. And mm-hmm. we've done some good things. And I want to take those relationships and have a positive influence for the state of Alabama. There's a lot of things out there we've got to take care of. So I'm extremely proud to put my name out there and to ask your listeners for their vote on May the 19th of 2026 for lieutenant governor.
Well, I can't wait to have Wes Allen and Tommy Tuberville as the governor and lieutenant governor for the state of Alabama. I can't wait for that.
Yes, sir.
I can't wait for that.
Very good team. Yes, sir.
All right. So I tell you what, we this is not going to be your last time on this show. You know that.
No, I need to come back on here more often. Thank you for inviting me, man. It's been great, and I know you've got a lot of loyal listeners out there that care about the country, and we live in the greatest state in the country, in Alabama. And no matter where I go, I'm so very, very proud to be the son of Alabama. And when I walk into a room, George, like, let's just say I go to Washington, D.C. to be with my fellow secretaries from around the country, it's not Wes walking into the room. It's Alabama walking into that room, and I want to make Alabama proud.
Great.
I want to serve Alabama the best way I know how, and that's just to work hard.
Well, you have done that since you were the Secretary of State. I remember you in the legislature the same way. You were out in the forefront.
Yes,
so we appreciate that.
Yes,
and you have an open invitation, Wes.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, George, and you're very, very kind to invite me on the show, and I just appreciate your help and support and your friendship more than you know.
All right. Thank you, Wes. We'll be talking at you in the future, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. George.
All right. You're welcome. Wes Allen.
All the best.
All right. Wes Allen, folks. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks. Welcome back. And we are on a mission. And I really enjoyed talking to Wes Allen, folks. I've known him for the past 20 years. And he's been in government service, you know, as a state legislator, as a probate judge. Now the Secretary of State, and there's only one way for him to go, folks. That's up. Up. He is a rising star in the Alabama political scene. And the good thing about him is that he's got guts. He's got guts, okay? Same way with Senator Tuberville. He's got guts. You don't back down. Wes does not back down, and he knows what he's talking about. So I really enjoy having him on the show, and we're going to have him on some more, folks. We're going to have Senator Tuberville on this show, okay? We're going to have other candidates on this show. Right now, we're getting ready for our local elections, and that is on the 26th. Of August, you know, for mayors and city councilmen, city councilmen and women, okay? So we are getting ready for that. And Mobile, fortunately, we only had four candidates now. Okay. But what really surprised me is when Batiste and Burrell dropped out and gave their support to Barbara Drummond. Okay, that surprised me. That surprised me. A lot of folks thought, you know, even though this is nonpartisan election, it is partisan, folks. Believe me, it's partisan. We know who the Republicans are. We know who the Democrats are. So a lot of people thought that Batiste, the former police chief, was a conservative. And I said, no, there's no way. So he has proven that, okay, by backing Barbara Drummond, who is a Democrat and who is a state representative under the Democrat Party. Under the Democratic Party. So, nope, she is a Democrat. And, folks, I cannot see Mobile turning Democrat. They had enough under Sam Jones for those 8 years under him. And I don't think he did not enough for the folks in Mobile. Okay? I don't think so. And I think under his administration, a lot of folks left. So when Sandy Simpkin took over, we had folks just leaving. A lot of them went right over to Baldwin County, right across the Mobile Bay. I remember I was on the Board of Planning and Zoning over there in Baldwin County for about 10 years. And I remember like in 2007, we were asking the population, and I think it was around 95,000. Anyway, it was under 100,000. And now it's close to 300,000, folks. That's Baldwin County. It's growing. So what Mayor Simpson tried to do, well, he, you know, he finally did it with some help from some people I know. There were five communities that wanted to annex into Mobile, and the three Democratic councilmen didn't want that. So they needed one of those councilmen to vote with the rest of the council people to allow them in. And I don't know if you remember, but we had the leader of that group here on our radio show. And about 3 weeks after that, they acquiesced and they voted, I think, two of those communities in, two of the five or two of the four. So that brought our number to over 200,000 people, because that's the magic number for cities. You know, federal government aid depends on how many residents are in a city. So the magic number for us was 200,000. So now we're over that 200,000. Now, will that affect the election in Mobile? I think it will. What, 15 or 20,000 people were allowed to annex into Mobile. I think that will, and that's what the three Democratic members of the city council did not want to happen. Okay? Did not want to happen. So we have four individuals running for mayor of Mobile. Three of those individuals are Democrat or Republican. And one is a Democrat. So people ask me, who do you think gonna win the election? I don't know. You know, I'm hoping to be one of the Republicans, okay? Either Prime or Spiro or Cunningham, okay? One of those three. But I do not want Barbara Drummond to be the mayor of Mobile. I do not, folks. So get out there. Talk to your people. Talk to your people. And let them know what's going on in Mobile. Now, the city council race is also is also going to be happening on the 26th of August. I think we have seven council persons. And we have, I would think, four or five of those races are being contested. I know in the race down in the Bay, William Carroll, I know that he's running. I think that's District 2. I know Herman Termitz is running, I believe, in District 6 as a challenger. So we have quite a few challenges in the council, city council races. And then we have Pritchett, Poor Pritchett, where Jimmy Gardner has been the mayor for two terms, and he's running for a third term. Jimmy, please give it up. Give it up, Jimmy. You've done nothing for the residents of Pritchett, and you have the audacity to run again for a third term. Don't do that. Let somebody else get in there so that they can work for the citizens of Pritchett. And I think the most important thing as a mayor of any community is to have a good relationship with Montgomery. Okay? And in my opinion, I don't think you've had that for the 8 years that you've been in office. So that hurts the city of Pritchett. Thankful that Paul Burke, the sheriff from Mobile County, has come in to assist with the crime situation in Pritchett. Okay? You can't even get an effective police department. Now, your water board is making all that money by hook or by crook. And so this is what's happening in Pritchett. And, Jimmy, we need more leadership. More leadership. Now, we got a caller. Let's see who's calling. Caller, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. Who's calling?
This is Matt Fraser.
Who?
Matt Fraser, running for District 6 in Mobile.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. What about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm enjoying the show. I enjoyed talking to our Secretary of State. Now I'm enjoying talking to you. You're a candidate.
Yes, sir. You caught my attention when you said something about the water board and the money.
Right.
And I really want to dig into that. If you know, I would like you to tell me a little bit about what you think of that.
Well, you just have to ask me a question regarding that, because there's a lot. Right. There's a lot to think about.
Well, yes, sir. And the city council appoints the board members of malls, but when I asked to speak, when I asked for a meeting with the board members of Miles through the city council can't seem to get a meeting. So I was just wondering, what was your thoughts on what is the whole point of the city appointing the board of Miles if we can't even have a meeting with them? I mean, that's something so simple that can be done.
Well, I agree with you, but it all depends on who is being appointed, okay? And I think Pritchett, each council person can select someone or recommend someone to be on the board. And who controls the board? It looks like nobody controls the board.
That is the exact thing that I thought too. If nobody controls the board does whatever they want, whenever they want, and don't answer to anybody.
Yeah, and it's been that way for years. You know that.
Yes, sir.
It's been that. So you're going to need a strong mayor, okay? A strong mayor to insist that, because I think that the mayor has some not control, but they have some say so over the action of the board.
I would hope they would have some say-so at the very least.
Right.
And another question that I just can't get an answer to is why in the world does the city of Mobile want to annex 9,000 acres around Big Creek Lake that has no tax revenue? Why would they even want to do that?
Well, that may be a good question for the mayor of Mobile. Okay.
I have asked him that.
or the upcoming mayor of Mobile.
Okay. I have not approached the candidates yet with that question, and that I appreciate you giving me that advice, because I do take advice very well.
Right. Now, the candidates are on a forum tonight at some church in Mobile.
We just walked out of the church watching the candidates speak.
Did anybody ask them that question?
No, sir. The preformed questions, and they drew them out of a hat, so it would be, and it was random, so, you know, nobody could prepare for any, you know, question coming
right.
to them. They drew them out of a hat, so
right.
I thought that was very good of them to do that.
Right, but I recalled when they caught the chairman of the board with all that, stealing all that money, that... And I think Ashley Rich, who was the district attorney then, and, you know, something has to be done, because I have relatives in Pritchett, and some of their water bills is $300 and $400 a month. Okay? That's
something
a shame.
That
is a shame. And, you know, I still fault the mayor, okay, of Pritchett. Because he is letting them do whatever they want to do, and that is holding the city back from development and advancement. That's my opinion. Okay, all right. Thanks for your call. We're gonna have to go right into another break. But thanks for your call. Call back.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Bye bye. All right, folks, we'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, folks. Our number here is 251-343-0106, and we are on the mission, folks. We are on a mission. And let me see, what was I talking about before? All right, we were talking about whatever it was. But anyway, we have some good news from the Supreme Court, for folks. They have agreed to allow the downsizing of personnel in the federal government. Okay? That is a big move. Big, big, big move. Because I know when I was a federal agent and also a military, you know, you had a lot of people that were hired by, you know, different administrations. And I think Obama had a lot of them that were hired. And this under this DEI, okay? And so you need to thin out the federal government. And I know as a federal agent, you have to go at the age of 55. So they thin out automatically. But some of these other agencies, you know, people there are over 60 and stuff. And I truly don't believe that the federal government should have anybody over there over the age of 60 in the government. They should be able to retire if they have 25, 30 years and leave. Give the other younger generation a chance to have some work, do some work, and have a career. Why should you stay there at that age, and you're denying a younger generation the opportunity to start working in that area, and so they could build up for their retirement, their career. So that's why I believe that, and I was really glad that the Supreme Court said, okay, President Trump, you can thin the government, thin it out, okay? And that's what they're going to do. And I love the idea of putting USAID under the Secretary of State, and he is thinning it out. Folks, you know, in Vietnam, in some of the Iraq, Iran, Hamas and Hezbollah, guess where they're getting a lot of their money from? America. How much money did Obama give Iran? Over $1.4, $1.6 billion, folks, okay, to stop the so-called building of the bomb. Did they stop? Hell no, they didn't. No, they didn't. Okay? So a lot of this money given to Hamas, Hezbollah, Syria, under USAID, under that umbrella. Why are we doing that? And then under Africa, okay, in Africa, a lot of those children and stuff. I spent 6 years in Africa, folks. Okay, they have enough money and resources over there to supply medical needs for their citizens. But guess what? It's going in their pockets. Corruption. Corruption. And that's what's happening over there. Why should America give these countries all this money when the leadership is some of them billionaires, folks? These leaders, the president and their cabinet, multimillionaires. And that funding should be going to help the people, the citizens of those African countries, especially when you look at a country like Nigeria and Ghana and all. Those are oil companies. Those are oil company folks. They've got millions and billions of dollars. But guess what? It's not going to the people. It's going to the pockets of the politicians and their buddies. That's where it's going. So why should we take money from our people in America and send it over there? Why should we do that? And that's what the Democrats, they try to, you know, they try to work the mind game. Oh, you know, 100 million people are starving in Africa or in Southeast Asia or in South America. They're not starving. If they are starving, it's because of the leadership, corruption. They're taking those funds and they're giving it to their proxies. Okay, look at all the money. What did that $1.4, $1.6 billion that Obama gave to Iran, what did they do with that money? They bought weapons. They gave money to their proxies. Okay, Mr. Obama, that's what they did. That's what they did. So President Trump has to resolve this whole issue. And I tell you what, Israel, I'm so glad to see him in Washington with President Trump, because Mr. Netanyahu, your forces are tremendous. What you did to Iran in those few days is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Okay, how you wiped out their leadership, the military leadership, and their scientists. And then President Trump came in with those B-2 bombers. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. So those idiots out there who don't like Israel, don't like the Jews, don't like America. A lot of them are in America right now. Thank you, Mr. Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. Thank you for allowing them to come in. Yeah. When people look at Iran only have about 30, I think the last estimate is 30% of them are Muslims. The rest of them are Christians. Okay? Now, this is what we're looking at. The only thing I didn't like that President Trump did was he called off Israel from destroying them and getting rid of the Ayatollah. Look what happened when the rat came out of his hole the other day. Okay? Look what happened. He still talked about the getting America and getting Israel, wiping them out. Trump, you shouldn't have done that. You should have let Israel complete the job, which is what we didn't do when I was in Vietnam. It was a political war. You know, Henry Kissinger and Nixon and Johnson, you didn't give us a chance to fight the way we should fight. Okay? We should have fought. And we lost, 44,000 soldiers over there for nothing. For nothing. So President Trump, I feel Israel is going to have to finish the job. You can't trust them. You cannot trust Iran. They're still talking bad. But fortunately, folks, Israel is on top of things. And just let Iran slip up one time. Let them slip up. What if they can do to a country like Iran what they did in this past 12 days, okay? If I was Iran, I wouldn't say nothing. I'd just say, that's it. You know, we're not going to fight Israel or America again. But they won't do that, folks. They're fanatics. They're Islamic fanatics. They don't like America. They don't like Israel. And guess what? They're here in America. They are here. We'll be at 15, 20 million illegals crossing to America. We have Chinese crossing in. We have Iranian. We have other groups from South America coming to America. And that's why the bulldog, Tom Harmon, I appreciate President Trump appointing him. He is a bulldog. And I tell you what, L.A., you didn't stop him. He's still in L.A. collecting all of those illegals and shipping them out. And Governor DeSantis, fantastic governor. You did a fantastic job with Alligator Alcatraz. You know, I was an agent down there in the Fort Lauderdale, Miami office. And we used to go out in those areas and look for dropping of drugs that were coming in from Colombia and South America. So I know that area like the palm of my hand. And I'll tell you what, fantastic idea. Now we need other states to get involved to build locations like that so that we can hold these illegal criminals until we can ship their behinds out back to the country where they came from. All right, folks, that's it. We'll be here next week, same time, same channel. Until then, Viking Dales.